This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 18th, 2012, episode 554. Horses in the Morning is live Monday and Wednesday and Friday, so today we bring you a classic revisit from the Horse Radio Network. Today's equine-fueled fun fest is compliments of the Horses in the Morning show episode originally aired about this time last year. So snag your favorite morning beverage or grab your favorite pitchfork and enjoy this enthusiastic interlude of unforgettable holiday tunes, toe-tapping country music, and just in case all this silliness made you queasy, a brief briefing on colic. Horses in the Morning will be back live tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, replete with riotous reports regarding all things equine. And don't forget to surf the web for the silliest, snarkiest, snappiest classifieds and email them to me, Jennifer, at horseradionetwork.com and put really bad ads in the subject line. On Friday, we'll share with you the top 12, and the listener who submitted what Glenn and Jamie decide are the best of the worst will win a pair of Hydro-T hose nozzles. Put Hydro-T on the end of the hose, turn on the water, and voila, you've got hydro massage. Now, please prepare yourself to exercise your laugh muscles.
Well, I would like to let you know that I'm completely unprepared for today's show.
I can tell. You didn't know the last part of the line there.
Well, that's because my computer messed up. But let me just point out to you that I have been a little bit busy this morning. It's not one of those good things that happens when you walk in on what I walked in on this morning. And I just sat down literally 3 minutes ago. I have no news for you. I have no information whatsoever. I was trying to edit something, and it just the whole computer messed up, so that's what happened. So I would like to I emailed Jennifer a picture of the scene that I saw when I walked into my office this morning. But I got to back up a little bit. At some point in the night, as they do, the puppies, who are now a year old, want to go outside. They just can't help it anymore, and they've taken to, like, grabbing the curtains to the door that exits our room with their teeth and, like, pulling on it and then barking or scratching. So, it's pretty quick that I hop up and I let them out. And then it's so cold here tonight, it's like 35, that I had to close the door real quick and run back in. Well, oddly enough, I never heard from them again. Usually in about, an hour, they want to come back in, so I have to let them back in. That's when I usually elbow my husband. I'm like, get the dogs. I let them out, you let them in. So they never wanted to come back in. So they must have stayed in the backyard all night long. So my office is on the other side of the house, and it, too, has doors that exit into the backyard. So I walk into my office. I open the door. I flip on the light, and there's been a murder. There's been a murder in my office.
They killed a chicken in your office?
Thank God it was not a chicken, because we'd have a dead dog. However, the murder was at some...
They killed your rat?
Poor, some poor lonely dove or pigeon or some sort of winged creature. And I know that it was a winged creature because I actually found a wing. Now, they at some point in the night pushed open the door to my office and ate a bird on my floor of my office. Now, so I'm supposed to sit in here and do
carpet,
a show.
Do
it's completely carpet. I mean, there's blood spots on the carpet right now. I sent Jennifer a picture. So, Jen, if you want to post that on Facebook of the scene of the crime, I, of course, then ran in and woke my husband up. Their dog killed a bird in my room. It's been a murder. Oh, my God, he needs to help. I get this. I got to write for the show. That was pretty much what he heard this morning.
That's what every fighter pilot wants to wake up to in the morning. I'm sure that when he was a single dashing fighter pilot having any girl he wanted. He dreamed about the days his wife would come in and scream about dead birds in the office at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sure. I'm sure that that was part of his young fighter pilot dream. it doesn't matter because he had to deal with it anyway because I was not going in there alone and cleaning up.
I have a question about the picture. I'm looking at the picture on Facebook, and I don't know whether that's your feet or your husband's feet, but over to the right looks like what's like a dead turkey or something. What is that thing on the right?
That's the plastic bag I gave him to put all the wings and chunks in.
What is that thing?
And that, those are his feet. If you click on it, it's a big like grocery store bag that I had given him to pile up the bird chunks. And he had already cleaned half of it up before I got back with the camera. So, that was my office this morning. That is why I'm completely unprepared. And that is why I'm really not in a good mood.
That's why Chad's going to be grounded today because he's going to be too tired to fly.
Yeah, pretty much. Are you flying today, buddy? Oh, he is flying today. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I woke you up. Thanks for cleaning my office. I was vacuuming at 6:15 in the morning. No horsewoman should ever be vacuuming at 6:15 in the morning. We are not designed to do that. It should not be part of our existence.
Oh, welcome to farm life, huh?
This shouldn't happen. I'm irritated. All right. So that's my morning.
That's
move on. I have nothing else to say.
I feel bad for the poor dead bird, but it's kind of funny.
I'm glad you think it's funny.
When it's not you, it's kind of funny. Let me clarify. Jennifer, what's coming up? We have a busy show today.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, it's an all downhill marathon of horse-centric topics.
Sounds like it. From this point on.
We're going to start at it great. Because Marianne Kennedy is here to chat a bit about her new CD, chock full of awesome, uplifting horsey songs. And next up, we fall a little further down with Glenn's Wednesday crappy list.
It's hey, here. I have good crappy list today.
It's here to drag us all
we'll see.
A bit further down the snarky, lowbrow humor road, so oft visited here on Horses in the Morning. And the final stop on the Today Sucks bus route. This morning is the Horse Health Report is going to be here with Horse Colic Triage Primer.
Yay.
Jamie, you can lead that conversation for sure.
I'm taking notes.
Jamie didn't hear yesterday's show. She had a bout of that. She worked on all day Sunday, pretty much trash Sunday. Birds trash today, jet trash Sunday. But things got better.
And you know what's really fun, Glenn, is that when you get the bill at the end of, like, your horse, you know, you're so stressed out and you're just a mess. The bill was actually one entire week's salary for me here at the Horses in the Morning. I'm like, wow, that's fun. Emergency fees and Sunday fees and exam fees and calling it fees upon fees upon fees. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can't say. Seriously? I mean, because they saved your horse.
Well, I've got a question. We're going to ask this of Dr. Jones when she gets in. Statistically, do horses colic more often on weekends? Because I think it's not just our imaginations. They really do.
That's true, too. I think that's true, too.
I don't think that's just something we think about. No, that really happens. If they took all the colics and put them in a computer program, horses colic on Sundays.
That's true.
You know, I agree.
Yeah,
there's probably not a big spike of colics on a Tuesday.
No.
You know, it's probably because we're sitting there staring at our horses on the weekends. But, you know, seriously, it costs extra, people.
Yeah, that's what it is. If it's after 8 o'clock at night, between 8 and 6 in the morning, it's an emergency farm call. And then on weekends, and that's when your horse colics. Is it 5?
Yeah, it's like 5. Because it gets done at 5, and after 5 o'clock, it's after hours, overtime, emergency, extra space, no, you know, gas costs extra. I don't know what it is, but my time is more valuable. Therefore, I will charge you because your horse got sick on one of these special times. Ugh, whatever.
I'm sorry, Jennifer. We interrupted you. Were you done?
I'm done. Stay tuned, okay. Folks.
Thank you. Well, my Daily Winnie first one goes out to America's favorite trail horse winner. That, of course, that TV show that has been on, done by AXA, that we've had many of the competitors on here on Horses in the Morning. They announced their winner last night. And the winner is a horse by the name of Lindsay Faith, ridden by Mary Miller Jordan. And the really cool part about this, Jamie, is it's an American Mustang mare that is up winning that competition. And I think she's only been ridden for a year. I think she hadn't been ridden very long. I didn't watch the series because I didn't get it, of course. But she hadn't been ridden for very long, and there's quite a story behind her. And I'm sure I know over in the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network, they're putting the show together where they're going to have the top three on, so you'll get to hear more about that. Second place was Curly Man McHugh, ridden by Ronald Sullivan. And third place was The Bailiff, ridden by Wendy Stevens. So congratulations to all three of them. Won a few bucks. So they're all a little bit richer today, and they can go around with bragging rights the entire year because they have the coolest trail. Do you think they're going to be invited now to the cool trail rides around the country?
Oh, they're celebrities, so they have to be. Congrats to them.
Yeah, good job. Good job. And well run by AXA. They did a good job putting it together. And hats off to a member of our family here, Tammy, who also works for AXA and was really involved in that. So good work to all of them. It was a lot of hard work to put this TV show together, but they did it, and apparently it was quite a success.
Do you have a company in the horse world? Are you looking to get the word out about your products, services, or shows? At the Horse Radio Network, we understand our advertisers need to reach the equestrian consumer in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible. Internet radio shows like this one, also called podcasts, allow the flexibility and creativity to craft unique messages that stand out from the herd and reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. If you want to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact our account manager, Lisa, at 847-790-4476. That's Lisa at 847-970-4476, or you can drop her an email at lisa@horseradionetwork.com. Our listeners are terrific, engaged, and avid horse people, the ones that you are looking for.
We need, before we get to our first guest here, we need very quick Reader's Digest version of a gopher update, because we promised one yesterday, and we never got to it, and people are dying to know whether you are winning the war on the Gophers with professional
all right.
help.
I've got my husband here who seems to have he voluntarily kind of, or I was fired, one or the other, took over the Gopher War update, or the Gopher War himself. So, honey, how would you feel like the Gopher War is going? You got to talk down here into the microphone.
Thanks for the instructions, hon. I have to say we're losing. We're getting dominated, period, Dad. We're not winning.
Dad, I gave you the solution, and nobody will listen to me. The solution is F-16 flyover strafing run. Perfect.
Hey, you can do anything once, you know. I'm not sure the insurance would cover the F-16 attack because you're assuming that it hit the Gophers and not my own home. But, that's a great idea. I'll look into that.
Okay, good. Yeah, either that or just a big bomb. Take care of it all right there.
There
is another solution, though, that was posted on our horse.
If I got the neighbor's permission, that might be okay. I'll look into it.
You know, as bad as their Gophers are, too, they would probably give permission. Just blow up the whole thing. We'll start over.
And I'm all panicked about shooting a .22 on the property, but I think the F-16 might top that, yeah.
There was Glenn posted another option, and I have to find it. There's another Gopher control device, and I'm not quite sure what it does. I watched the video, and it just cracked me up. Did you see it?
I've seen that before because I've looked at that upon the beginnings of the Gopher battle. Well, what it is you find one little Gopher hole, and it basically fills it up with gas and lights it and blows every tunnel away. Now, you look at that, and conveniently, they always seem to be standing at the very front of where the tunnels start, and it'll go like 20 feet and literally explode. I mean, I would imagine Gopher pieces and parts are flying, dirt's flying.
It looked like your office this morning.
Exactly. The two problems with that is I don't have a big field to work on this stuff. If you blow something up, it's pretty much going to touch a fence line or the arena. I mean, there's just not enough room to blow things up. Second of all is, how do you know you're not standing over the rest of the tunnel system? Like, it could blow your leg off.
I know. I thought it was kind of bizarre. I did think it looked bizarre, but it was fun to watch the video.
It was. So that link is on our Facebook page, and I think it's called the Gophinator. So if you just want to Google that, it's an aggressive form of gopher murder. And it's the Rodinator, rodinator.com.
That's still there.
No, he left. Yeah, I think I'm there.
I have another option here. Maybe you could talk to him about this, and then we'll get to our guest. You know, we accidentally came into possession of some little blocks of C4 at one point. And I was told that you take these little blocks and you throw them into a fire, and they make this big fireball. They don't blow up. They don't go bang. They just go whoosh, and they make this big fireball. So I'm thinking Chad could, you know, abscond with some C4, just put those little bricks in the hole, and just light them on fire, and they go, and they'll go all the way through. And as long as you're not near a gas line, you should be fine.
Yeah, where are those gas lines? Because I certainly don't know, nor am I willing to find out.
Let's find out if our guest has gophers, because she has a farm, and she's in Tennessee. And I'm kind of thinking they don't have gopher problems in Tennessee, because down there, they just know how to take care of things like that. And our first guest is a regular on this show. She is on it almost every day because we play her music quite a bit, and that is Marianne Kennedy. Good morning, Marianne Kennedy.
Good morning, guys. I definitely have the morning voice, but I'm so happy to be here.
Well, good. Do you have gophers on your farm?
Yes. I was listening, and that's funny stuff about the gas, and yeah, that's too dangerous. But and in fact, I'm seeing this year, just this early winter, these little tunnels all through my yard, and I'm like, where did they come from? But what I've used in the past, and I haven't looked into it yet, have you heard of the natural solution is, you know, castor beans? So you could either, like, you know, plant castor beans all over your yard, or you could use this natural product that has the ground castor beans in them and try to sprinkle them all over where the tunnels are because they hate castor beans.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm just picturing a bunch of gophers with gas.
See, maybe that's it. Maybe they blow themselves up. Right? They go down to Texas. Boing. Okay. I don't know. The other thing I tried years ago was mothballs, you know. But, again, what? You have mothballs. What are you going to do, poke little holes all over? That's why the castor bean product is all ground up, and you sprinkle it. And they split. They do split.
Huh.
I'm about to go hunting for that product again. You like it?
It would take Jamie about a million castor beans ground up to do her 3 acres. Because let me tell you, Marianne, these things have dominated. They're tunneled everywhere.
They've taken over.
But anyway, that's not why you called. We called to
talk
about music.
So
you sent me your new CD, and it's called This Love of Horses. Now, this has new songs on it, right?
It has what?
It has new songs on it, right?
Sorry, I was mid-sip of Java. Yes, it does. It has 10 new songs.
And they are horse songs?
Yes.
Tell us about some of the songs on here.
Well, okay, let's start with a title cut. This Love of Horses. I kind of think of this as a theme song for those of us who are absolutely passionate about these creatures being a part of our life. And the main line is to kindred spirits everywhere, this love of horses that we share. And then the rest, the song kind of speaks for itself. But it is. It's just kind of a joyous, there's a Celtic feel to it, and it's just kind of like a joyous theme song for this horse-loving community.
And I'm going to play that one, actually, when we're done with the interview here. I'm going to play This Love of Horses. That was one of my favorites. It's the title track of the CD, but it's also one of my favorites, too. You also have Road to the Horse, which you had done for Road to the Horse, right?
Right. I penned that last year, about a year ago, and recorded it before the 2011 Road to the Horse celebration here in Tennessee, and Tootie Bland had requested it, and that happened last year, so I saved that track to include it in the new CD.
And I haven't even told Jamie this, but I got word yesterday that we have an invitation now to come to the Road to the Horse and do some shows there this year coming up in March.
Well, great.
So we're going to be taking a look at the logistics of doing that in Tennessee, down in Murfreesboro. Is that
weird word.
Murfreesboro.
You got to kind of slur it together. You go Murfreesboro, but it's Murfreesboro.
Like Louisville.
Like Louisville or Nashville.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, so we're hoping to get down to do that, and you usually go to that, don't you? You usually head over there? You're not too far from there.
Right, and I don't know that I'm singing this year. I don't think so. I think they're having a different kind of approach musically this year. But, hey, I was honored to have done it 2 years in a row, and I'll be there watching. You know, this year the theme is teams from 3 countries, from Canada, Australia, and the U.S., so it's a different approach. You know, Tootie's just so driven and so creative. It'll be another great, great 3 days.
And Jamie, our friend Guy McLean's going to be competing this year for Australia. He'll be there.
Yes.
So that's cool. And, of course, Templeton always goes over, too. I think she heads over there for that and watches that every year. So we'll look forward to seeing both of you guys down there in person this year, hopefully, if we can get it arranged. And, of course, a lot. I listened to all the songs on here. There's some terrific tracks. You got a little bit of an Indian motif in a couple of the songs, a little bit of Native American in there, and I like that, as well as a little cowboy, too.
Cowboy girl.
Yep. No, this is terrific. You can get it. I checked. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it on your website. You can get it all the. You can get the CD off of iTunes. It's pretty much everywhere, isn't it?
It's pretty much everywhere. Of course, and also the Pirellis that will be selling my music again through their website. And but yeah, pretty much the easiest way is to just go on my website and. You can listen to samples, and it takes you right to this fulfillment company that I use that's just, I got to say, they're flawless. It's just so easy, and so anyway,
I like the pictures on the CD, too. And, you know, there's still something, you know, we all download songs, but if you're given a gift, it's, you know, what are you going to do, give them a memory stick? You know,
well,
you really want...
I know.
You really want the cover. You want the whole CD. You want the album cover and the whole thing, you know, to give as a gift. So, and they still have time to do that. It's at MaryAnnKennedy.com.
Yeah, plenty of time. And yes, thank you. That tactile sensation of just actually holding something, and you know, you don't always have to depend on having your. pardon me. See, horses in the. We'll change the name to Horse in the Morning.
See, this is the problem, is we try and get musicians up at this hour, and it's not good.
I know. I was like, I actually got up at 7:30. I'm like, I've got to start moving and waking the old chops up. But I knew I would definitely be a low alto with a few frogs this morning. But, yeah, so to actually have the CD to give as a gift, of course, but also, you know, to grab it last minute or keep one in your car or in the barn and not have to have your iPod there, you know. Could do both. Put it on your iPod and then have the CD. So it's kind of two for one when you buy the actual CD.
And, you know, CDs, too, I said this last year, CDs are a great thing to have around in your car. You know, get one of Templeton's, get one of Marianne Kennedy's, have them in your car for those emergency times when you're going to the barn and go, darn, I was supposed to have a gift for so-and-so, because these always work. They're great for the emergency gifts, and what horse person doesn't like horse music? So that's what we recommend. It's MaryAnnKennedy.com. Go back to bed now, Marianne.
Oh, come on. That's too good. No, I'm up now. And the horses
right.
are looking at me. And it's starting to, believe it or not, we're getting this little light snow here.
I know. It's supposed to snow here today, too. You're sending it our way, I think.
We are. It's coming from the west, gift wrapped, right up to Lexington.
All right. Well, thank you, Marianne. Appreciate you sending us the white stuff.
Oh, well, you're welcome. That's just an early Christmas gift.
All right. Merry Christmas, Marianne.
Thank you so much, guys. And, yeah, thanks for having me. Have a wonderful season.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, let's play a little of her song, The Love of Horses, and then we're coming back with not one crappy list today, but two crappy lists today. Because I couldn't decide which one, so I thought we would do both. That was my theory behind it. I think probably Jamie will change my mind after we get started.
love of horses that we share. Some pintos, some sorrows. The ponies, the pasos, palominos. They're in my dreams, they keep me smiling. Yeah. When I go on to the next life, I know I'll be riding.
That's Marianne Kennedy. It's This Love of Horses off of her new CD. You can find it all at MarianneKennedy.com. Many of us at the holidays wax nostalgic about how wonderful things were or lazily dream about how wonderful things could be. Well, this holiday season, give yourself and those on your holiday gift list a big favor with a gift that really makes things happen, and that's from Back on Track products. Yep, Back on Track state-of-the-art therapeutic products improve mobility, reduce pain and inflammation, and help you and your horse perform better. Choose from a complete line of blankets, saddle pads, leg boots, wraps, and even products for humans and canines. Make 2012 the year to give the gift of improved well-being and performance from Back on Track products. Ask for Back on Track by name at your local tack supply store or from online retailers worldwide, or you can find all of their products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, every Wednesday we take a moment to really, you know, not forget about horses, but we put horses aside for a couple of minutes, and we have something that we've developed over the last year called Crappy List Wednesday. It's my time as a horse husband to go, okay, enough horses for 1 week. We're halfway through the week. Let's talk about something else for a couple minutes. Because, you know, horse people, we do other things occasionally. Our families all have other things in their lives, and that's why we take a small break from horses, although we're not really doing that today, because I have a question and I want Jennifer involved in this, too. You know, one of the dilemmas that horse husbands have every year is buying gifts for our wives, and buying a gift for a horsewoman is tough, because pretty much the only thing you can buy is tack or horse clothing or something that involves horses, and then, for the most part, you have almost everything that's out there that we know about, and that's the other problem, is we don't know about the cool stuff, and we just don't know what to get, or if we do, it's the wrong thing. So, we sometimes try and venture out, and I know I've tried this in the past, and it hasn't always been successful. We try and venture out and buy something that's not horse, thinking that we're going to be clever and cool. Well, those of you that have been married a long time, you know those years when you got the non-horsey thing and you went, oh, dear, that was nice. Well, I want to know ahead of time, for the benefit of all the guys that listen to the show, we know there's a lot of them, whether some of these things are approved by horsewomen. So, Jamie and Jennifer, are you ready for the list of the most popular things out there this year that men are buying for women? And I want to know if they're approved, okay?
Got it.
Okay.
All right, this is off of SheKnows.com, the website SheKnows.com. And these are the popular holiday gifts that consumers are buying this year. 46% are buying books, CDs, DVDs, or video games. So I know if we buy horsey books, we're pretty safe, but what about other books?
I mean, okay, so let's break down books a little bit, because that's pretty broad. Are you giving us a gift certificate to the bookstore? Maybe that's okay. Are you buying us Snowman, the book about Harry Dallaire? That's good too. Are you getting us one of those giant coffee table books about Andalusians? That would be fine. Are you getting us a Harlequin romance model or how to fix your wagon train underneath, you know, your drive shaft for your car? Not okay.
Oh, damn. We got to cross that one off my list.
how my husband could seriously buy me a how to change your trailer tire book. That one would be okay.
Yeah, I do think you need a lesson. You need more than a book. You need lessons in that.
Exactly. But if you were to get me a book on, like, you know, how to repave your driveway, I wouldn't care.
All right. So let me write this down. Okay. Horse books, okay. The Joy of Sex is off the list.
Well, we'll talk about that one.
All right. CDs and DVDs, as long as they're the music that's approved. It doesn't all have to be horsey. It just, you really have to know what your woman likes, right?
Yes, that is true. That is true. And CDs, you know, now you can make them downloads. So take my iPod, you know, go and download me a whole ton of, like, Coldplay's got a new CD, you know, put that on there. U2's got some new music, put that on there. And then also mix in some Templeton Thompson and Marion Kennedy. See? Brilliant.
Jennifer's choices would be a little different, wouldn't they, Jennifer?
I have the most embarrassing case of music. Okay, I admit it.
She thinks Coldplay is building a snowman.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer apparently thinks Coldplay, the band, is like what you do when you build a snowman, honey. We danced to Coldplay at our wedding.
Snowman your wedding. I thought you went that way, Mary, somewhere warm. No, sorry. We'll stop now. I'll put myself on
Jennifer.
Oh, all right, 43% of are buying toys. Well, that's not such a good gift for your wife. Well, it depends what kind of toy, I guess.
All right, again, is it the Zenyatta Breyer? Because the Zenyatta Breyer, or like you bought me the Barbara Breyer for Christmas, any sort of those types of toys, like those are okay. However, buying a kid's toy or whatever might not work. Jennifer?
Right.
Well, you know, if the toys fit nicely into the competitive trail practice obstacle course at the farm, I'm all for it. So outdoor toys that would fit that description, yes, you can get those.
Okay, so that means pool noodles are in.
Yes, pool noodles are available. Yeah, yep.
Pool noodles and old tires.
Yep.
Woohoo!
31% are buying hobby-related items. Well, I think that pretty much covers the horse world right there. You know, anything you buy for horses, that's the only hobby horse women have, so that pretty much covers that. 25% are buying shoes, and I think I already know the answer to that, Jamie. Shoes.
Well, back to the hobby buying, does that include a dressage saddle? Because I need a new one, and... if that's buying for a hobby, I am all behind that one. And then shoes, if you want to give me a gift certificate to my farrier, good on you. I mean, that's a great gift, guys. Seriously.
Do they do that? Do farriers do that?
If they don't, that's brilliant. It's a brilliant marketing idea right there.
23% are buying food or candy. Now, you know, guys, we always go back to candy as a fail-safe, and I'm thinking that's probably not so good anymore, is it?
Well, I mean, aside from putting it in your stocking, that's fine. Fill the stocking up with presents and candy, and then, I mean, am I wrong, Jen?
Well, see, candy is all about the packaging. If you get me a box of candy and wrap it up, you'll be sleeping on a couch, boy. But if you go out and get a variety of my favorites and wrap them individually with cute little bows and toss them into the stocking, then you get brownie points for being extra specially careful. So candy can be tricky. You need to do candy just right, and yeah.
Okay, the way I wrap gifts, candy's off the list. Cross that one off. Next, 21% are buying jewelry. Now, what about jewelry?
Jen, do you have an opinion before I just say mine?
I am not a jewelry person. And when you're a horse person full-time, jewelry tends to get lost in the sand and in the riding arena footing and in the muck heap. So I'm going to say a blanket statement here. Jewelry, unless it's an engagement ring, no.
And you know what I have okay, to say, yeah. though, Jamie, let me explain something. She does wear one piece of jewelry, and she wears a necklace that has a little stone in it, and the reason she wears that every day is for our 20th wedding anniversary, I said, well, you know, you want something different, maybe some jewelry, and she said the only jewelry that will do for our 20th wedding anniversary is if we go to North Carolina, we dig our own dirt, we find our own jewel, and we have it put into a setting, and that's what we did. We drove to the middle of nowhere in North Carolina where they made the movie Deliverance. We dug dirt. We sifted. We found, what is it, Jennifer, a ruby? Is it a ruby?
No, it's a sapphire.
Sapphire. We found a sapphire, and we had it made into a necklace, and that's the one piece of jewelry she does wear.
That's really beautiful. Now, as far as the rest of the us who are not going to go mine for our own gold, I would like to point out that the jewelry thing, in my opinion, would be really nice. I would love to get a big, giant piece of, you know, like something thoughtful, a necklace, some earrings. However, I do not want said piece of jewelry until after you have bought me that dressage saddle I talked about before. Because all I'm going to do when I see that jewelry is go, God, I could have had a dressage saddle. And yet I have some stupid jewelry.
And then the last one on this list is 15% are buying cosmetics, spa packages, or beauty-related gifts.
No. Those are always good. Yeah.
See, I'm like, no, that's just too weird.
Spa packages and massages?
In the department store where it smells like perfume.
No, she doesn't go. I actually bought her a massage once. She didn't like that much either. She's not much for. She's a horse girl. She's diehard.
Oh, my gosh. Let me lay on the table completely naked with some man walking in there with some oil and just going to crush my back with his elbows and just go, oh, come on. I'll take it. Oh, in a second.
I think you're going to get about 12 emails today offering those services.
Oh. Oh, come on in, Sven. Welcome to my room. May I offer you a glass of wine?
Oh, man, okay, you're going to be in divorce. You're sleeping on the couch tonight, buddy. Especially after you woke him up early to clean up a dead bird in your office, and now you're talking about Sven coming into your room with wine and a massage. You're on.
He already went to work. He already left. I'm no dummy.
Well, that's the list. So basically what it comes down to is just buy him horse stuff, and that's all they want. They're happy with that. They can use it for the rest of the year, and we're just good. You know, when we had our store, we had a tack shop. We were one of the first ones online, actually, and we sold gift certificates at Christmas time like everybody else. We had a guy buy, what was it, $2,000 or $5,000 every year, Jennifer? He would buy,
yeah, it was huge.
It was like $5,000 gift certificate every year for his wife. Every year, the day before Christmas. Every year, $5,000. She would just buy. She would buy for the next year. Anything she wanted, she could just buy because she had $5,000 to spend.
It was his way of keeping track of how much money she was spending on her horses.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Here's your allowance, honey. I would like $5,000 to spend on my horses. That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That's a good gift. Yeah, I like that one.
Well, that's my list. Now, let me do the next one here. Well, let's remind everybody, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen over there producing today. We're sponsored today by Back on Track Products, and we really appreciate them being part of the show. And Jennifer, just as a note for later on, we're going to call Dr. Jones on her cell today.
Got it.
I just got that message. All right, most popular Christmas songs of all time. Now, I am doing this one because I know that this is, I know what Jamie likes, and I know this is going to drive her absolutely insane. And not only are we going to mention the most popular Christmas songs, but I have clips of the top 10 because she'll just want to shoot herself at the end of this, I'm pretty sure.
Now, Glenn, before you start.
Yes.
Is this going to take me back to my days of working at the Gap?
This is going to do that because these are the top 100 greatest Christmas songs of all time, not modern, of all time. And this was put together by a radio station in New York that surveys their listeners about all kinds of different lists of songs. And so I have the list of the top 100. So first, tell me, what's your favorite Christmas song? And, you know, I want to say that I think sometimes when you find out what people's favorite Christmas songs are, it doesn't match what their music selections normally are, and you're sometimes surprised. You go, you like that? Isn't that true of Christmas songs?
It that's a tough one, Glenn, because I don't know if I like many Christmas songs at all. And maybe that is me being the Grinch. I mean, let me
just
point
throw
out
the
that...
Scrooge.
I know, exactly. We put up our Christmas tree last night. We decorated it and our ornaments and our lights and beautiful, and I got so excited. And I wanted to watch, the Christmas movie, which that we watch in my house is Elf with Will Ferrell. But that's what we do. We're kind of a newer Christmas person. And any song that was played in the Gap when I was 17 years old, working as a greeter during the holiday season, pretty much makes me want to shoot myself in the head because I heard those songs literally for 8 hours straight. And the worst one, I think, is George Michael song where he's singing, please, I don't know. But U2 has a great Christmas song. I like the one that Will Ferrell sang with that Chicken Elf, the little duet. other than that, Walking in a Winter Wonderland, I like that one too. That's it, though. The rest.
All right, well, here we go. You're going to love this list then. How about you, Jennifer? I know what Jennifer likes, and actually one of her favorites is on the top 10 list. I would say that, so you're not a big Frosty the Snowman lover.
No.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Feliz Navidad, and Run Rudolph Run, and aren't even in the top 10, by the way, the ones I just mentioned.
Oh,
in the top 100.
Too bad.
So top 10, here we go. Here is number 10. And, I think of her for as many people that don't like these, there's going to be people who do. I can't say that I ever heard this one before.
I hate it already.
Mamacita.
Have you ever heard that song before?
Glenn, I would like, before we go any further, where exactly did you get this survey?
I told you, it's a radio station, WCBS, out of a big radio station in New York, and I kind of think they must be in that part of town where Dante says Santa Claus is popular.
I'm pretty sure that you just found a Spanish broadcasting channel. If you were to turn on the radio station, it'd be like, Sabado, Sabado, Sabado.
No, not true, because this is number 9. Little drummer boy.
I my head hurts. Go.
Oh, no. Well, you got a lot more to go. Your head's going to continue hurting with this one. Gene Autry.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Fixing the blitz and all his reindeers pulling on the rain.
Children,
is that one you like?
That one's good. I like that one. That's a little perky. It's happy, and you can understand the words, although I probably only knew the first sentence. How many of you actually know all the words to Christmas songs? You're like me. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. Da 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 da. All the same. Da da da. You know, that's how I sing them.
Well, Jennifer, I know you probably like that one, too. Jennifer likes the oldies, so little Gene Autry makes Jennifer's day. And let's see here. After Here Comes Santa Claus, we have number 7 on the Hit Parade. One of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. And I'm not kidding. I'm not being sarcastic. This is one of my favorite Christmas songs. Know what it is?
Did you say Hit Parade?
Handling my death radio.
Yeah.
The news had come out in the First World War. The bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command.
How can you go wrong with Snoopy's Christmas? You cannot go wrong with Snoopy's Christmas.
Wait, that was Snoopy's Christmas?
Yeah, that's the Red Baron, where he goes up and fights the Red Baron, Snoopy.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
But you don't know that one?
Well, don't you watch the Charlie Brown Christmas every year?
Year?
I'm sorry. Maybe that would put me in a better Christmassy mood.
That was done, and the only version of that that's any good is this one. It's done by the Royal Guardsmen. And that's the only version of that that's any good. I'm just saying. All right.
Can I interject here? I would like to say that, you know, I feel like I sound like the Grinch. But after this year, I'm actually going to Chad's parents' house for Christmas. And, Mom, I know you're listening, and I love you, but we do not have the most functional family for Christmas events. Most of the time, you know, most people get really drunk, and they fall under the Christmas tree, and there's some sort of fight, and then I have to split time between Mom's house and Dad's house. And it's just, you know, my brother gets in a fight with me, and he tries to punch me, punches the wall because he's so drunk, and then somebody falls down the stairs. That is Christmas in my house. However, this year I'm going to Oklahoma, Chad's parents, which is like the land of the Cleavers. Like Ward and June Cleaver are Chad's parents. It's brothers and sisters in perfect harmony, loving each other, kissing each other, just being very, you know, it's like a family thing, and everybody buys presents for each other. It gets like ignored. So I'm hoping that this Christmas is going to turn me around.
Well, Jamie, I guarantee you at June Cleaver's house in the middle of Oklahoma, you are going to hear this song at Christmas.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
And before you say anything bad about that, keep in mind that Jennifer writes your paychecks, and Nat King Cole is one of her favorites of all time. So just tell her you love that song.
Well, how could I not? I mean, come on, Nat King Cole. I'm not like this like evil hater of all things Christmas, okay? And that song was not played at the Gap, okay? It was like the pop Gap song.
This one, however, was.
Oh, God, I hate your song.
Jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop.
Well, Bobby Helms for you this morning.
Get your Gap bells now. Everybody, please, red light special. Come on, everybody. Jingle rocking around the Christmas tree. Oh, shut up. Oh, my God. Okay, sorry.
All right, so this one is a version, and it had to be this version. There's been 1,000 of this one redone by every pop star in the world. But it's the original version that made the list by a guy by the name of Jimmy Boyd. Do you know which one I'm going to be playing?
I do not. But go for it.
Jennifer does.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night.
I always thought that was sung by a little kid, but it was actually a grown adult. This Jimmy Boyd guy was a grown adult. He had that voice.
Stop it. That's a grown man?
Yes, that voice. Yeah, and I think that was his only hit ever. I'm not sure, but I don't think he had too many. You're going to love the next one. If you say you hate this one, then every kid in the world is going to be shooting spitballs at you.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I'm pretty sure you can play all these. Nobody owns them.
That's why I was kind of thinking. Now, number two is one that I happen to know from our trip to Norco last week, is Jamie's favorite Christmas song of all time. Number two.
I love it when he says he wants a hula hoop. Okay, now Glenn, I do not hate the Chipmunks Christmas music, okay? And that one song is just cute as can be. But what you did to me on that sleigh ride with Christmas caroling, Glenn, how many freaking Chipmunk songs are there? Because you played every one back to back to back. Anybody can stand one. There's not 10 in the list. There's one in the list because you can't do more than one, but you played 40 Chipmunk songs back to back to back. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like thinking in Chipmunk talk.
Everybody in Norco was singing Chipmunks that night because boy, we went on this carriage ride with Dr. Jennifer Wells, and she has a beautiful carriage and it has a terrific sound. That's it. That carriage has a better sound system than my house. And we had the Christmas tunes blaring. You could hear them 3 blocks away. And we went all over that town playing Chipmunk music.
Oh, my God. Well, Chipmunk song. They have so many. They have like 1,000.
Number one on the hit parade for the top 100 Christmas songs of all time is one that I know Jamie likes.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Bing Crosby.
Now, you talk about Bing Crosby. First of all, what a classy dude. That guy, if he wanted $1 million, he just goes, okay, I'll just sing another song. And Bing Crosby was huge into horses. Did you know that?
Yes, he was. And if he wanted to make $10 million, he just sang a Christmas song.
Exactly. That guy was like, I need to buy a new string of horses for my races. I'll just sing another Christmas song. I'll get a whole new barn. Oh my God, what an awesome dude! Oh, and he
now,
was.
Now, can I be
to
honest, totally here? I hate Bing Crosby songs. They just put me to sleep. That White Christmas. If I hear that one more time in its entirety, I will just throw up.
They made Glenn, honey. Not to be whatever. And I know this is a family show, but Bing Crosby makes women get naked.
Okay, well, I'm changing my mind now. I'm going to put him back on my Christmas list. Bing Crosby CD for Jennifer. All of a sudden, I love Bing Crosby. He's a big matter of fact. I love it so much. We're just going to play that again.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
All right, that's enough of that. And now, every horse person, if you like equine, this is your favorite Christmas song played in its entirety.
Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic, the cutest little donkey, you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be, because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la.
What on earth was that?
Actually, you know, want to know something? That is a very popular song in the Italian community. Dominic the Donkey has been like a tradition for 40 years. And I thought it had a horse in it so I could get away with playing it and driving you crazy. Because now, the rest of the day, you're going to have Dominic the Donkey, hee-haw, in your
house. Hee-haw, hee-haw,
hee-haw. Hey, Christy,
oh my
from thehorse.com, aren't you glad you're part of this show?
You know, I will admit, I have never heard of Dominic the Donkey, and you're probably totally correct. That stupid song is going to be stuck in my head for a week.
Yes. Yes. Now, Christy, I have to ask you, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, there are probably lots of things I want for Christmas, and now it's going to be boring because I need some stuff for the house. So, you know, just forget it. Just move on to the horse stuff.
I was hoping that you were going to say that you want a hula hoop.
Well, you know, I do. That's true.
I want a hula hoop. Who listens to chipmunk?
I cannot hit that pitch. I'm going to let you do that.
Oh, man, I was hoping you'd sing right in.
I can't. I mean, I could try, but I can't hit that, so nothing would come out. So it's just not worth trying.
Now, Christy Janie, yes, we know, is a horse person, but she's also a skydiver. So do skydivers go skydiving on Christmas Day?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Depends a little bit on where they are. You know, there's a lot of northern drop zones that close down around that time, but I have been skydiving on Christmas Day. I've also actually been skydiving on New Year's Day up at a drop zone called Skydive Chicago when the river along the side of the property was frozen.
Oh, cool.
Nothing says holiday spirit like jumping out of an airplane. I mean, if you were going to...
Absolutely.
Really, what is wrong with you?
Well, and we've got an event here in Houston called the Festival of Lights at Moody Gardens, and every year we have a number of skydivers actually dressed as Santa Claus and a couple of his elves that jump into that event to kind of kick off Christmas every year, and we did that actually a couple weeks ago. They did it a little bit early, but, you know, yeah, jumping in Santa suit and elf costumes with little pointy shoes and everything. There are pictures.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So, Christy, now, to the reason that you actually called was I know Dr. Jones is gonna come and be a part of the show. Glenn, I know. It was fun. I'll take it. I admit it. Some Christmas music is good. What else do you want me to say?
No, my crappy list Wednesday wasn't bad today.
I think what he wanted to hear was you were right.
Yeah, I kind of want to hear that, but she's never going to say it. So thank you, Christy, for appeasing me today.
Christy, I don't think I can choke out those words right now.
I understand completely. I just, thought I'd make that translation.
Well, Dr. Jones is here, so let me play this music.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Christy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Awesome.
Glenn, Christy, admit it, you want that as your ringtone, don't you?
I do. Can I get that?
I'll send it to you.
Send it on over.
Perfect.
Well,
I will make sure to turn it on anytime I even think I might see Glenn.
before we get a little bit wacky there, first of all, good morning, Dr. Jones.
Good morning, everybody.
We missed you guys last week. We were broadcasting from Norco, California, so we didn't get to have you guys on. But I would like to say that I did think about you on Sunday as the veterinarian was sticking a hand up my horse's rear end, rectaling him. So if it gets you feel better, I thought of you.
I wish you had thought of me in a different perspective than that. My family seems to have that same feeling. Maybe it was that picture I sent them in the thank you card for my graduation gift of me wrecking a mare. Thank you very much. I don't know.
That's awesome.
That is definitely a procedure we'll cover in today's show.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to go ahead and get on with because I'm taking notes today because I had a ripping bad colic this past weekend on Sunday. My horse, Jed, my competition horse, my event horse, just got sick. I mean, and we had a huge weather change. It had been nice and warm and sunny, and then all of a sudden that night it got down to like 40, woke up the next morning, it did not warm up throughout the day, and he just got really sick, and somebody was telling me that there was a large barometric pressure drop or something, and lots of horses all over the valley colicked. So I'm gonna sit back and listen to you guys discuss what I did wrong or what I did right and what I can do to prevent this nightmare from happening again.
You know, I was kind of first interested in what your horse was doing. They told you he was sick.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I've had horses before that would maybe stretch out and paw a little bit. I've had horses that would bite at their belly. This horse is the biggest wuss to any amount of pain ever. I mean, you would have thought that he had flipped it, something and he had just, he went down. He wouldn't get up, okay? I had to lift his head off the ground to put the halter on. That's how bad. He was flat out stiff as a board, would not get up. Had to take the dressage whip with three people in there trying to get him up. When we did get him up, he was running sideways and striking and fighting and just absolutely crazy miserable, like to the point it was just hard to even treat him at the beginning. Once we got medications in him, which you guys are going to talk about, he started to calm down a little bit, but until he was tubed, he was never comfortable. But no, very overdramatic is this horse, Christy.
Wow.
Is this the first colic you've experienced with him?
No. No.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Now, it was the worst colic I've experienced with him because this is the first time that he's actually, this is the horse that was a starvation case, and then he had just the worst ulcers. And anytime he gets some alfalfa, either by accident, he eats it from his neighbor that blows over, he would get a gas colic. He would gas colic. And one shot of Banamine, and in 10 minutes, he's fine, and he's back to being himself. This time, the Banamine did not work. It was not enough.
That's a good description. Do you narrate books on tape?
I don't get it.
Good job. I thought that was a very good job. Well, that I was curious because I figured we'll bring in a few of those throughout the show. But I wanted to start with what you did, since you asked what you did wrong. So what did you do other than the banner? I mean, you got the halter on. You tried to get him up. How long, you know, at what point did you give him the Banamine right away?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't recommend this to everybody, and not like my recommendation matters, but I was a vet tech for like 10 years, so I'm pretty comfortable giving an IV shot. I give it the very safe way downwards. And so I have the Banamine on hand, and since he's had these bouts with gas colic before, because he did have so many bad ulcers, the vet recommended that I just have it on hand for these kind of moments. However, this was not one of those moments. So when I did give him the Banamine, which was as soon as I got him up, I could tell. I couldn't even get close to him to get his heart rate. I couldn't get next to him. I tried to listen to his belly with my little stethoscope, and he kicked me. That's how much in pain this horse was. He was freaking out. So I was able to get him out of the stall. We put a chain over his nose, and I was able to get the Banamine into his vein, and then walked him for about 10-15 minutes because he was trying to go down, and just tried to keep him up. And again, if he was to lay quietly, it would have been one thing, but he was rolling and going crazy. So I took him around, walked him until I realized that the Banamine wasn't doing it all, and that's when I called the vet. And she was 2 hours from coming, so I actually drove to where she was, and I picked up some sedative from her, brought it back, and gave it to him. And then he laid quietly until she got there.
Wow. Well, that's definitely a trusting relationship that your veterinarian has with you, so that's fantastic. But that sounds like you had a very workable situation, and very traumatic for you. So driving even to go get those meds probably was horrifying to leave him behind, I'm sure.
Yeah, fortunately, it was a mile down the road. Literally, she was a mile. I live in an equestrian neighborhood, so the people down the road were having a colic, too. Now, I was her technician for a long time, so that's why she trusted me enough to give me the meds, I think.
Good, good. Well, it sounds like that, you know, you could say you had a very terrible colic, but we can't really say that for just based off the signs, because I would consider a terrible colic one that need surgical intervention, and that's what I define as a terrible one. But then again, everybody has a different thought process of what terrible is. Terrible could be just their personal emotional experience. They don't want to see their horse, their baby, having, you know, a very painful episode going on.
Well, I guess when I think terrible, you know, terrible to me is my horse being in pain. Unfortunately, yep. Not terrible to those of us who don't know why they're in pain. You know, of course I think, oh my God, it's surgical. That's the first thing I think is, oh my God, I'm going to have to get him to a clinic somewhere. He's going to need fluids. He's going to need surgery. That's the worst case scenario. And that's the horse owner and us panicking about anything like that. So when you say it's not that terrible to you, that's because you see a lot worse. But when it's our baby, you know.
Right. That's exactly my point is, you know, to me, I wouldn't consider it terrible, but to you, and terrible, you know, different in the eyes of the beholder, basically, as just as good as, you know, beauty is definitely different in the eyes of the beholder. The thing I want to talk about, and I think what Christy's getting at very well, is what are the signs of colic? And yours was very obvious, a very obvious sign. But it can be as little as they're standing in their stall and they don't want to eat their food. They're not doing anything but just standing in the stall. Another one could be they're stretching out as if they want to urinate. And they're kind of, what they're doing is they're making room in their abdominal cavity for that constipation, gas, whatever's going on, to kind of fill out. It'd be like you and I after Thanksgiving meal. We're trying to find that comfortable standing or laying position. Sitting at the table doesn't work for us anymore because you're squashed in your abdomen. So you got to get up from the table and you got to stand and you're kind of standing funny. Maybe you're laying on a couch watching a football game and you're laying funny because you just want to get that heavy weight food in the right position so it doesn't bother you. And horses stretching out as if they need to urinate, a lot of people will think are urinary tract problems, which is very rare in horses. And that's a very simple sign, and that's an early sign a lot of times for it, the horses that are having colic issues. But all those signs, you can put them all together and see them all at the same time, or you can just see one or two of the signs, and that's enough to say, I think we got a situation that we need to address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, back to what Chrissy was asking is, how did you know your horse was sick? Knowing your horse, being that horseman or horsewoman, and knowing that the behavior of your horse is certainly different today than it was yesterday, if it meant just stretching out as if to urinate or staying in the stall, not interested in anything going on outside the stall, that might be enough for you to say something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And once you suspect that something is wrong, what should you do?
Well, you know, the common thing that everybody always says is take the horse for a walk. Besides calling the vet, is let's walk the horse. And I've had, especially here, and probably same for you, Jen, out where you are, in the summertime, walking the horses for an hour before the vet gets there can actually be detrimental, because you're going to get them sweating, you're going to get them, hot, because it's pretty darn hot here. And so I always tell people, walk, but watch the amount of sweat going on. Make sure you're not getting them uncomfortable, that kind of thing. In your situation, you had one that was violent. So walking was kind of detrimental to you, right?
That was the only way I could keep him from getting cast in his stall. But, yeah, no, I was definitely avoiding the striking front legs. But
walk and be careful. Don't get hurt. That's the big thing, is please don't get hurt. But you can certainly walk them, and those are things that you can try to do before the vet gets there, see if it helps the horse feel better. Removing the food, that's huge, especially one that you just fed. They didn't run over to the bucket to eat. They're just standing in the stall looking around. They're not rolling. They're not laying down, but they're just not interested in eating. Take the food right on back out. Don't wait. Just take it right on back out, because you don't want to add any more hair down the drain if it is an impaction, and they go and eat a little bit more food. It may make their colic a little worse.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the other things you want to do, but even before you call your vet, is check your horse's vital signs and listen to his gut sounds, because your vet's going to use that information to decide to kind of get an early idea of just how bad things might be.
And, Jen, you're in the perfect situation of that. You have that experience. Anybody else doesn't have that experience. They can just ask the vet, where do I listen for this? And then you just need to make it a regular habit once a month, every couple weeks, to check your horse's vitals so you know what normal is for your horse. I get a lot of, the gums are pale. Well, the gums are probably normally pale because they tend to not be a bright pink color in some horses. They tend to be a more pale pink color normally. So you got to get a normal basis for your horse and get a really good feel of what your horse has for a normal heart rate. Are they a nervous horse and tend to have 40 for their normal heart rate? Or are they so relaxed that 28, beats per minute is a normal heart rate? Gut sounds, that's questionable. A lot of people, you really need to listen to a lot of gut sounds to become an expert on it, but it certainly doesn't hurt to start trying. But again, as Chrissy pointed out, it's going to help the vet. Your vet was busy with another colic. She could triage over the phone. If you're capable of doing all those vitals, she could triage which colic she's going to get to next. Now, don't give any false information just so you're the next one in the line, please. But a horse has got a 32 heart rate and is rolling, but then I've got one that's got a 60 or 70 heart rate and is rolling. I really need to see the 60 or 70 heart rate over the 32, because 60 or 70 heart rate is telling me there's probably something strangulating in their intestinal tract, and if they're going to survive, they need to get the surgery right away. So those kind of things really help out.
Next time my horse is sick, I just need to tell him his heart rate is 75 plus, and she'll hurry on over.
You're terrible.
Yes. No, not at all.
Okay.
But as far as we're talking about triage and early treatment, Jamie, you mentioned giving Banamine because you know how to give Banamine properly. Please don't ever give it the muscle. But what, are there any meds that owners should give if they're not familiar with such injections? And another thing that Jen asked about in particular is, what about some of those over-the-counter products that are, quote-unquote, guaranteed to stop colic?
Yeah, and, I see that note that you had for me, Christy, Well, I think there's a lot of diet pills out there that are guaranteed to get you to lose weight, too. So consider the marketing source. If they're guaranteed to stop colic, then most of us veterinarians wouldn't have a job. And that's all I can say.
Point.
the treatment for laminitis, where if there was actually one, everybody would use it. The whole colic thing. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I think the point is we all wish it were that easy.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you've got over 100 feet of intestinal tract inside of a horse. That's a lot of intestinal tract to have complications with, and it depends on which part and which section is having problems that tells you, is it going to be a severe problem, mild problem, or a, you know, moderate problem. So it just depends on what's affected.
Sure.
There can't be a cure-all for the whole entire tract. It all works differently for a reason.
Again, would that it were that easy. So as far as giving any medications, Banamine, pain meds, or whatever, Erin, what's your position on owners giving a lot of that before the vet is able to come see the horse?
Consult your veterinarian. And the biggest thing I always say is have a good relationship with your veterinarian. I have Banamine that I'll dispense to clients I trust that I know they're going to call me and say, hey, I've got a colic going on. Can I go ahead and give Banamine? Or they're screaming, I got a colic. You know, can I do Banamine? Because they're in the same position Jamie was in the fact that things were not going so well. Things were going bad quickly. In those circumstances, yes, and this is how much they give. And I'll call them back, or they need to get back in touch with me in a matter of X amount of time. If they're able to give an IV, then they can get back to me in a matter of 20, 25 minutes and tell me how's the horse doing. If it has to go orally, I'll talk to them about 45 minutes to an hour, make sure everything's going okay. If it's not getting better, more Banamine is not the answer. That's definitely masking the signs for the veterinarian to come out. So I don't think a lot of people understand that. Banamine is good for colics, but too much is a bad thing. It can make the gums real pink. It can make the heart rate drop to a normal rate. It can make the horse comfortable enough he wants to eat, and eating might be the worst thing for that horse to do at the time. So there's a lot of side effects to Banamine that make the horse look good because you want him to feel comfortable, but you need to be cautious of what you're allowing the horse to do or what you're reading off the horse.
And to me, Christy, I'm sorry. To me, that would seem like normal. Like, I'm not going, if I take 800 milligrams of ibuprofen and I still have a headache, I'm certainly not going to take 800 more. But people, I was so shocked with the vet who was at my house. She had just treated that horse with, the horse at the last place, and they had given it 2 grams of bute and half a dose of oral Banamine. So she gets there. So she's like, well, it wasn't really working. So she gave it another half dose of injectable Banamine. So then it had its full bute and full Banamine dosages. She's like, don't give any more. So she leaves. She gets a phone call when she's at my house, and they're like, he's not any better. We're going to take him to the clinic, but we went ahead and gave him another dose of Banamine.
Why? Yeah. Why?
He's like, you did what? So then she had to call the clinic and be like, they're on their way, and you may want to just go ahead and have a bunch of fluids ready to flush out its kidneys.
Exactly, and
that's
the side effect of the Banamine, as well as the fact that we'll give them false information when they arrive to the clinic. They won't really know how bad off is that horse. And amazingly, I just had a colic last week, and it's amazing how many colics in 19 years experience now that I've had that will continue to stay standing in the trailer all the way to the clinic, whether it's 15 minutes away or an hour away, the horse arrives standing. They don't fall down. I think it's the rocking of the trailer. You're putting them in the smaller area that they can lean against the walls. I've only had one arrive down, and that horse had to be euthanized in the trailer. It was pretty bad off. All of them stay standing, and people don't think that that's going to happen because they're rolling and they're uncomfortable right prior to getting into the trailer, but they'll stay standing.
Self-preservation.
It is. It's a self-preservation, absolutely.
Absolutely. So I know we don't have a whole lot of time. There are a couple other things that we wanted to touch on in terms of colic triage. Jennifer had asked a couple of questions about medications that the vet may give, such as why you'd give Banamine over bute.
Banamine has a better effect on the smooth muscle, and that's what lines the intestines. And its analgesic effects. So it takes away the pain of the intestinal tract, and bute doesn't seem to have that good of an effect on the smooth muscle. It has a great effect on the musculoskeletal, which is the skeletal muscle that makes up the frame of the horse. But as far as giving some belly pain relief, it doesn't seem to do it. The Banamine is a better choice for that. It always has.
So Banamine's a lot like Imodium?
No. Okay. Not
no.
a lot like that.
What does Imodium do for you, Glenn?
it does that. It lines your stomach and makes the cramps go away. So I thought it was a lot like Banamine.
No. Definitely different ways, different methods of action.
Just checking.
It's not coating the stomach. It's just working on the muscles around it.
Yeah,
so I don't have to take 45 of those little pills out of the packets and give them to my horse when he's colicking?
I wouldn't. You know. I do know some people have tried it. And gas ass is another one they've tried. I can't say why it's working for those horses. I don't know if it's the sugar pill idea for the client, the placebo. But anyway, it doesn't do the horse any harm, but I wouldn't trust it to be its number one job to do, is to take care of your horse's colic. But the Banamine, it's an anti-inflammatory, just like Bute. Bute's an anti-inflammatory drug. So
I was surprised, Dr. Jones, that Jen and Glenn both said that they didn't think that people would know the difference. And I was like, oh, no, everybody does. How many of your clients would know the difference between Bute and Banamine?
What do you mean, know the difference as in what it looks like or its effect?
What is
its effect?
No, I don't think they would.
Oh,
I think some of them know that Banamine helps with colics, but they don't know why. A lot of them think it's a tranquilizer because the horse gets sedate, because the horse feels better. Often they calm down. They stop rolling. They stop fighting at their sides. They stop looking frantic. So they think it's a tranquilizer, and it's not. It's an anti-inflammatory.
Okay. Glenn, Jen, you guys are right. I'll give you that one.
But you can't say.
I've got clients that have Bute and they're out in the trail, and the horse maybe got a little dehydrated, maybe getting a little gas colic when they got back to the trailer, and all they got on with them is Bute because they were thinking they might get an injury on the trail. Bute will work in a mild gas colic. It just kind of takes the inflammation away, and they carry on just fine. But for the one that you're talking about that you had, Jamie, that Banamine, that would be a better choice. I would certainly do that. And then a little bit of sedative because, I hate to say it, but it sounded like he was a little bit of a hypochondriac there going, oh, my God, I'm sick. Oh, my God, I'm sick. Oh, God, I'm sick.
Exactly.
You give them a little bit of, tranquilizer. You kind of take their mind off of it, make them feel really good, and then they don't realize how sick they are. And then we can let everything else get back to normal.
Okay, yeah, so we haven't heard... I was expecting of the four women on the call that one of you would have said typical male. They're sick. I'm shocked that I didn't hear that.
You know, it just really cracks me up that you dove in there with it first.
I've heard it a few times.
It is true, though. My God. He laid there like he was dying. And as soon as he got tubed and got a belly full, he's like, okay, hey, can I have that food now? Can I eat some more alfalfa, please? Seriously, typical male. They feel better.
Yeah.
They just want to eat again. Drama queen.
The other quick point, I know we're running out of time, I really want to make this point, is the referral decision. And I've really stressed this to my clients. I've learned over the years a better way of approaching it is to refer a horse. There's a lot of reasons to refer. But the main thing is they're not responsive to any analgesic, a painkiller, like your neighbor down the street had to give another Banamine and another Banamine. That's ridiculous. If you have to keep giving that much Banamine, it needs to go somewhere else where it has 24-hour monitoring and fluids, possible surgery. When you make a referral, I tell my clients, you don't have to do surgery, especially nowadays with the recession in the economy. A lot of people are scared to death to take that step and say, I'll go to a surgical referral place because they feel that they're going to be pushed into surgery. You don't have to be pushed into surgery if it does not fit your economics. Do not remortgage your house. Do not miss Christmas for your kids if that is more important priority in your life. But, and by the way, there's plenty of insurance out there that will help you with those surgical decisions when you have to get to that point to help you out with, paying for surgery. But going to a referral hospital or a clinic doesn't necessarily mean you have to do surgery. It's just going to give that horse 24-hour care that you yourself are unable to give because of the lack of medical knowledge and the better medical knowledge and better access to drugs, IV fluids, things like that. So a referral decision is not necessarily going to have surgery. It means it's going for 24-hour care.
I think that's an excellent point. And you also brought in insurance, and that's a whole other show. But a lot of these types of situations, these potentially catastrophic or at least very scary situations, you're going to do a lot better job at handling those situations if you thought about them ahead of time. So, I mean, insurance may be part of that decision. It may not. It may just be thinking ahead of, gee, if something really, really bad happens to this horse, am I going to consider referral, or do I just already know ahead of time that I can't afford it and that it's just not an option? But you can make those decisions a lot more calmly and with a lot clearer head if you think about them when you're not in the middle of those situations.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've run into a few people lately who lapsed their insurance because they didn't need it. They owned the horse for 7 years, never had a problem, and boom, they've got a big problem right now, and they don't have insurance anymore. You know what? You drive your car for 7 years. You don't have an accident. You don't have any issues. And then you drop your car insurance, and you have an accident. You know, most of the places, most of the states require you to have car insurance. So that's why most of us have it, is because you're required to have it. But if you think about it, it does give you that relief that you can go get another car. You can get that car fixed. You can, you know, get a rental car because you have that kind of coverage. It makes those decisions easier rather than heartbreaking economically. So you think about the insurance for the horses, because it will make it a lot easier to make the decision to go to a referral hospital and run some fluids and possibly do surgery.
Absolutely. And think about, too, you know, you will, if you're thinking about ahead of time, you will also think of, okay, if it's over this amount, maybe I would act this way, and if it's over that amount. And it's not all that uncommon, Aaron. I'm sure you have some stories for, you know, somebody ended up in a situation where a horse needs some fairly expensive care if it's going to survive and do well, and people just say, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, he's my baby. Go ahead and do it. And then later on, they're having to you know, foreclose their house because they put so much into that horse they didn't think about at the time what the ramifications might be, and nobody wants to be in that situation either.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I don't have a view in anybody's pocketbook. If I did, I'd be a miracle worker. But, you know, I always offer every single option, and it's their decision how they want to adjust their economics to pay for it. Some have the insurance to do it. Some have a credit card solely just for their horse. Care Credit, Farm, what is it, the Farm Bureau, I think there's a credit card with them that's 0% interest. And those are nice to have. You can take a $5,000 to $7,000 college surgery and spread it out over a year's time and make payments and have no interest added to it. I mean, that kind of stuff is utilized widespread in the horse community and the dog and the cat community to take care of your pets, your animals, your kids, however you want to look at them. So you don't have to make that horrible decision of, oh, I'm tapped out and I can't afford this.
Absolutely, it's not a good place to be. Well, thanks. I know we've been on the phone for about 30 minutes. We're about out of time, huh? We have to do that. This is a great topic. I love it.
Oh, it's a fantastic topic, and we could go on and on. I'd love to do one just on talking about insurance and you know, being prepared for that, because you know, the other issues we have here in Florida that are very expensive issues are eye injuries, and they tend to be very taxing on the clients in giving medications, because it's hourly, every 2 hours, every 4 hours, and that's through the night, and you're trying to work at the same time. There's a lot of layup places that will, you know, accept your credit card, take care of your horse, and you can still go to work, make the money to pay for that bill, and you got delayed billing on some of those credit cards, or you have insurance that gets reimbursed for this layup barn that's taking care of your horse's eye injury. So there's a lot of reasons to have it, besides orthopedics and colics.
We'll do that next week, because you're right. I think absolutely it is a good thing to do, and I know I need to go ahead and get some for Chet now. And again, you know, you buy a horse for $400, and the insurance for the year is, like, more than that. But you're right, it's worth it, because I spent more than his purchase price on Sunday. You know, I mean, he was adopted for $400, and his colic bill was $500. So,
and that's a typical colic bill. It's a typical comment, and I hate to say it, Jamie, I get that comment a lot when I do colics. But nowadays, even a vaccine bill will be more than what you pay for the horse, because there's a lot of free horses out there. So if you think about that, there's a lot of free ones. You can still get insurance on the free ones, too.
Well, and that's what my coach said. She goes, you don't ride him like a $400 horse, so you don't treat him like one.
Right? I love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much for coming to being on the show. We will talk to you all again next week. Of course, it's Christy from thehorse.com and Dr. Jones from floridaequine.com, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Guys.
All right. Bye. We are flat out of time, Glenn. Our show is over.
Just have one thing to say, and this was from Robert Dunn. He said, what I need to say before you guys go off the air is that Glenn might want to watch how often Chad is allowed on the show. Chad has a very good radio voice. Well, Robert, what I'd like to add to that is he's also good looking, and he's a fighter pilot, and I'm pretty much screwed. So there we go. Have a great day, everybody. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with another Horses in the Morning.
And everybody remember, spay, neuter, and geld. And Glenn, hit the music. I think you need to go get some Bing Crosby today, my friend.
I'm on my way.